Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. We welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is John Ramos.
Hello.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Man, the sound is real crisp today, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Very sharp.
It is nothing like in the middle of a major electrical storm. How good the sound.
Amazing.
This could be the last time outside the grace of God that we're gonna, which we you know, it's for Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
For Jesus. Moses had to actually broadcast in the midst of electrical storm, didn't he?
Mm.
I mean, he was writing down, like, I'm on the eighth commandment, and lightning's popping on top of his mouth.
Yeah, right.
Kaboom.
So, Lord, we just ask for protection over studio and all of us. And we just want to be out here to tell you what's taking place and what we feel. We got so many things available coming to you today. And one of them is... hopefully get a chance to talk about Azusa Street. You know, it's over 100 years since then. There was a prophecy that was given out about it would be approximately another 100 years. It'd be a major move like Azusa Street in the world, not just in one particular area, but all over the world. And that's just so exciting. But you know, what is Azusa Street? You know, we're going to talk about that. We got just some intense theorists that studied intently on it, and
yes,
they were able to summarize it in such a small amount of time. You got to pay close attention.
That's a gift.
No, I'm excited about Stephen Barber being able to share with us on that. And also a prophecy. We're going to begin today a conversation. You know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. And there's some serious things going on right now. And as I was just, you know, praying this morning and asking God to speak, and that's what the Lord is, you know, that was one of the words. He wants to shout from the rooftops what he's telling us and showing us. And you want God to just kind of unfold everything for you. But the reality is our brains are not the viewers or listeners' brains, but, you know, you have to understand. Well, John's the smart one.
No.
Yeah, he's a brilliant one.
So you know how much trouble we're in.
He's the smartest one. Yeah, exactly.
And so, and also, if God would have given Moses the entire word, he probably would have been drugged through the whole thing,
no,
you know,
doubt,
because he didn't even deal with his flesh until, you know, way later on, you know, thanks to his wife,
yeah, his wife dealt with
Sephora,
the flesh.
And the Boy Scout knife.
Yeah,
and you know what Moses' sons call their mother? Yes, ma'am.
But they do.
They do. But God has been speaking. I feel it's just enough. You know, it's we got to pay attention to the signs and what's taking place. And right now we have Gog, you know, Gog, if you look at it, it kind of includes Ukraine and all these different Rush and all that. Sometimes it's interpreted Rush from what I understand. And we all know in part and prophesy in part, but this is what the Lord is just really laying on my heart, that everything is being set up possibly, potentially for Ezekiel 38 and 39 to begin to come to pass. I mean, everybody's been praying and prophesying and saying, you know, for all this time that, you know, that this was going to happen, and it's like, it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, it says in 38 that this will happen. The question is when it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the proceeding. How did things get to this point? And it's like, hey, the whole world has been organized, by the way. It has been Alinskyized, and the Alinsky tactics have been used. But I'm going to talk about that. And one part of that is not only what the Lord is sharing with me over a unfolding period of time, but also what he spoke specifically to me about the Secretary of State. And how the Secretary of State is a significant part of this plan. Mm-hmm. Secretary of State John Kerry, based on what the Lord had shown me, what's going to take place. And in that, y'all remember that specifically the Lord spoke to me. And even the very time that I looked at Pat and I said, this is the time that Secretary of State John Kerry will come on live and he will speak.
That's right.
Remember?
I remember that.
And the very time, you remember John Kerry came out.
106.
Yep.
I remember that.
Yep. Wow. And he spoke, and what he spoke was they were polarizing the world over using Syria to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about, and the byproduct of that was what they really wanted to do was to polarize so they could organize and get the Arab League up under Rush, up under Gog, up under Putin. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody died down. So we'll be talking more about that. What does that mean? It means this, you know, there's some serious things about to take place, but the big thing is Israel's going to know it's God. God's going to show himself mighty. And the salvation of the Jews could mean the dispensation of grace for the Gentiles could be coming to an end.
Wow.
Full numbers come in. And so if you don't know Jesus, you know, you better hurry.
You want to.
Yeah, you better hurry because Yeshua is about to be revealed as the Messiah, potentially to a large portion. And the biggest thing that Israel will know is that that God is the one that gathered them and brought them together, and he's the one that's doing this. In regard to, I'm not talking about end time prophecy. I'm talking about part of the prophecy being fulfilled, what will take place, and how God just puts stuff in your mind. A lot of people feel, you know, that because they're getting this unction, because they're getting this thought that, and that it is of God, that it's a God thing to do. Versus, no, God's turning you over to something and he's using you to do something. And it's like, dear God, please, Lord, you know, and it should cause us all to be humble ourselves because, you know, Pharaoh would have only known that he was being used by the Lord to be a sign and a wonder. And his life would end miserably and he would face the throne room judgment seat in the future that he would have probably just stopped, you know, if he would have known what was going on. If Saul would have known that God had sent a lying spirit down to be able to just confuse him and stir him up and cause him to be just miserable unless he called one particular violin player, no, one fiddle player, one guitar player, if you would. And there's only one musician that could calm him, and it happened to be his replacement.
Wow.
It was David, right?
Yeah.
Because he played his instrument for God. And so much so that he pleased the Lord. And so God's, you know, in control. This is what Ezekiel will be talking about. How this is what God says. He says, I will put a thought in your head. I'll put a thought in your head to cause you to say, you know what? We're gonna scheme. And by the way, just so you know it, I mean, anytime you're scheming, that God doesn't scheme. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-mm. God doesn't scheme. You know, I just don't see him ever scheming. He doesn't sneak in the back door. He comes to the front door.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? He's God.
Right. He is the door.
Yeah. He doesn't take a boat. He parts the water type thing. You know what I'm saying? He's like, and so, so you feel like one of your intercessors came to you and said, hey, we need to scheme. It's like, it's time to release that person who says they're talking to the Lord and bring in a prophet.
That's right.
And say, you know, that's not what this is about, you know? So they're going to scheme, you know, and we're going to be talking about this and just kind of fill in some things we're going to be talking about today's program. And of course, we're probably going to continue over a conversation over a period of time. But in that, we're looking at how things have come together and how in the world did we end up giving the control of the, what, how many, 500 million Muslims up under the Arab League?
Yeah, at least.
21 nations, something of that nature. And we just walked over and just handed it over to Putin, who is now invading Ukraine, trying to get America in a fight. And so why are they trying to distract us over in Rush? Is it because of Persia and Gog and Gomer, which potentially could be Turkey, who we gave the Iron Curtain to, is going to come down like a cloud over the mountains of Israel? And I mean, Israel is just so small. It wouldn't take a big cloud. And it's like, man, we've got to pay attention. And I'm going to talk also about, in a moment after this break, about how signs, even though you say this sign is plain as day, this is exactly the sign, but you have to understand this is what Satan does. He prostitutes that sign, and he makes it his own, and he flips it. And it's the bipolar opposite. And so you have people say, yeah, it's a sign, but it's a sign for us, for our God. It's not a sign for you and your God.
Right.
And so if you don't understand that, it'll cause you to buy into false religions instead of saying, wait a minute, no. Let's go back to the word of God, how God has spoken about this from the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it.
and 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch. VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this, there came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I want to encourage you, just in case you don't know this, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. VFNTV.com and the VFN Torch has all of it. And you may catch a piece of us or get come on different times on Christian Television Network, maybe on your app or on your radio when you're listening. But, you know, dive in. Listen, these are now words. We're not wasting 1 second of our life. We're spending every moment trying our best to hear God and hear God collectively as, you know, what God is saying. Hear what my spirit is saying to the churches. And so don't wait for something to air if it's available for you now. Don't wait for something to get in.
Yeah.
And as we're going to be sharing over a period of time, this now word about Gog and Persia and Ezekiel 38 and 39, this prophecy about how these buffalo are fleeing out of Yellowstone Park. And I mean, what are you doing? Just take your time to just listen and get informed. He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and understand that this thing is picking up. And there's one thing about we're going to be talking about in the next program as about the Azusa Street revival is understand simultaneously the San Francisco earthquake happened, which created a momentum to bring people, cause people to look to God, which means you can either be in the move of God or you can be in the earthquake, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like these things are taking place. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel 38-39 talks about an earthquake even coming there. So what's this? But that'll catch us in our next program to be able to talk about that. But John, what is about Chick-fil-A? What's taking place with Chick-fil-A?
Well, awesome. You know, Chick-fil-A was founded by Truett Cathy, awesome man who started an amazing company. And one of the things that he did with Chick-fil-A is that they decided to take Sundays off. They close, you know, their store on Sundays. In fact, that was a big deal because I believe the very first Chick-fil-A was in a mall.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, hey, you can't close this, you know, on a Sunday. This is a mall. He says, hey, we're closing on a Sunday.
Right. I think it was their first one. It was their first one at a mall.
At a mall, correct. At a mall, because they started somewhere else.
They have a museum where it was, a little small building over.
Yeah. That's some kind of weird name, but God has just blessed his business because now, believe it or not, Chick-fil-A, the sandwich, the big chicken sandwiches, right? Chick-fil-A.
Chicken and bread.
They now sell more chicken and a pickle. They sell now more chicken than KFC, the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Who would have thought?
Chick-fil-A? When did this come out?
This just happened just recently. Here, this, you know, within the last few days. It's absolutely amazing. Who would have thought Kentucky Fried Chicken now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Major company. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you know.
Yeah, right. I understand. They sell it by the buckets, and these guys sell it by the breast.
Exactly.
Think about it. They don't even sell the leg or anything. They just sell the breast.
Yeah.
Who?
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah.
And it, yeah, think about it. Yeah.
Short-term memory.
Hey, we're on a program here. Hey, bing, bang, boom, boom.
Okay.
He hadn't eaten fried chicken in so long, he don't know what's going on. We know what's
going on. We know about fried chicken.
Obviously, y'all know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, anyway, is that awesome or what? I mean, when you think about it, because for years.
God's honoring them.
God's honor. For years, KFC was number one. In fact, this article says.
Right.
And they put it in their literature, and now, for the first time, they had to take it out of their literature, saying, basically, we sell the most chicken, because now Chick-fil-A has that, you know, so just, you know, it matters, because people always wonder.
Think about it. They just take a piece of the chicken, and with that piece of the chicken, with a pickle, and a piece of bread, they outmatched somebody who sells all the parts of a chicken. All the chicken, livers, chicken gizzards. You know, breasts, wings, thighs. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
All of that, they can't even compete with Jesus.
That's right. Mm. That's right. So it matters. I mean, it matters who you honor and it matters who you serve.
Colonel Sanders needs to come to the altar.
Come on, Colonel. Take off that jacket.
He was building a statue to himself.
Oh, no.
Right, yeah,
His face is on a marquee.
But he wanted to build on his tombstone or whatever you want to build, have like a statue of himself.
Really?
Being the colonel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that was made up, too. He's not really a colonel. He's not really a colonel, by the way.
He's not a colonel.
Well, who made our chicken?
No.
Who made our chicken? Well, I know that how he handled his competition.
Really?
He literally went out and shot his competition.
Oh, my goodness.
He sure, I don't know this for a fact. I'm just... What's
allegedly.
That word? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. According to CNBC in the study of...
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, he went out and he says, you can't sell my product or something. And either way, listen, join the crowd. Go to Chick-fil-A.
That's right.
And get you a chicken breast sandwich.
And
add
good.
To their numbers with a pickle.
And a pickle.
With a pickle. Really and honey mustard.
On the side.
That helps the pickle go down. And their shakes are pretty awesome, too.
Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this on to this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We want to get right into this. We want to make sure we can get as much in as possible today, because Steve Kalaszewski and Barbara Still will be joining us to talk about the Azusa Street Revival. But I just want to tell you, Azusa Street Revival, God just moved mightily in L.A., and they're going to be talking about it, but that was like in 1906. Mm-hmm. But just recently, you know, before we start, you know, hearing from Stephen Barber, is the Lord just began to stir my heart about Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. And things I didn't know that is unfolding, and I did know a lot of almost 600 million people, they say, was affected right now because of that outpouring around the world. And so I was going to go in the beginning of the year to a time of a sabbatical, of being with the Lord, and they give me a particular place that I was going to be staying in, and had a number on it. The number on it was 1906. Mm-hmm. And immediately, as soon as they gave me that room, 1906, or that place, 1906, the Lord just spoke to me and said, that was the year of Azusa Street.
And you had no idea that was...
No. Anyway, can't waste a lot of time
just
on that.
For the listeners, they know that he had
no
clue.
Just listen to the program.
And so then, you know, of course, you look it up. And I looked it up. I was like, it's right. It was 1906. And then I looked at it and it said it was in May of 1906 where it began to happen. And so, and Azusa Street is actually the name of a street. And so this God just began to stir my heart. So I go spend this time with the Lord, just kind of hearing his voice. And there's nothing like spending time with him in the context of that. And in it, while I was there on the sabbatical, and normally there's no communication happening, all that stuff shut down. Mm-hmm. But God puts a South African pastor in touch with me.
Wow.
And begins to tell me how important it is for America to stay the light. Mm-hmm. Because if America goes dark, then the whole world will go in deep darkness. And then he began to prophesy to me. And he prophesied to me, saying, America, and he knows nothing either. He says, America needs a second Azusa Street. And Azusa Street is so unique. You have to understand. And this is, you know, one of my heart's passion. In 2013, or the previous year, you know, God began to really just show me the division and the divided walls and the segregation in the church today. Mm-hmm. You know, and the fact is, it wasn't until, you know, I became a believer that I started looking at people in regards to why is this called this kind of church and that kind of church, and it's defined by race versus aren't we all the same? And it's like, these walls got to come down. That's one of the unique things about Azusa Street. The whole body came together in a powerful way. We'll be talking about that. But then with the particular word then came back to me, Bob Jones's word, before he went to go be with the Lord. He talked about in the spring, when the time of the apple blossoms will be blossoming, that God's going to begin this harvest, that he would see they're bringing 1 billion souls in this powerful glory outpouring. And it would happen around spring, which is the same time around the Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. And so we're just like, man, we got to focus on, you know. So we've been just looking at and remembering, and you know, you have the Four Square Church, you have Assemblies of God, you have probably Church of God, and just all these different movements, and the church is birthed out of this one thing. And this thing is like, what happens if we go back and say, remembering those that have gone before us, and say, you know what? You know, let's just do what God said. And this is the whole thing. Jesus says this. He says, go make disciples of the nations. That word nations means ethnos, which means our races, our different people groups. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to all come together into one new people group called the body of Christ, mm-hmm. which Jesus is the head. And the mighty move comes out of that's true unity in Christ. And the humility that they're going to talk about is just so powerful. And so when I looked at it, and then God calls us specifically because we were going to locate in the central part of the U.S. and mm-hmm. northern Texas where we could reach the entire nation easily there. And God specifically calls us back to a community to be able to establish the hub, mm-hmm. the VFN Dream Center, and in a community called Brownsville Community. And we found out as we were prayer walking, God was speaking to us. He says, it shows the sign. It says this was actually founded during the Azusa Street Revival
wow.
in 1908, which is like 100 years. It is amazing. It's amazing. Matter of fact, we're going to join them now as we listen to Steve Kalaszewski and Barbara Steele share with us what they've learned about Azusa Street.
Well, hello. My name is Steve, and we're so excited to have Miss Barbara here in the studio. How's your day going?
Excellent. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I am just excited and just really expectant just of the many conversations that we have had
right.
talking about the Azusa Street Revival.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know what that is. Tell me real briefly, what was the Azusa Street Revival?
Well, it started with William Seymour.
Yes.
And he was in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't a regular member at a church because, well, he couldn't get into the church because
right.
he was black. And in 1900s, early 1900s, mm-hmm. there was no mixing of the races in churches at all. And he would sit outside the church or the room and listen in on the preaching through the window.
Wait, you mean that he wasn't even allowed to inside? He had to sit outside.
He was outside listening
wow.
through the window. And he couldn't do anything there in Texas. Nobody wanted to hear anything. So God told him to go out to California. Mm-hmm. So he did. And he began what was known now as the Azusa Street Revival.
So why do they call it Azusa Street? Wasn't that basically the location of where it was?
Yes, right.
Wow.
It started out in a little house. Someone yeah. donated and said, you can use this house.
Yeah.
Because he was preaching and the crowd started growing in the house.
Well, before that, mm-hmm. what was so significant was it did not happen just overnight.
Oh,
there
no.
was there were days and weeks and years that he
prayer.
Spent just seeking the Lord.
Right.
Even there was a season where he didn't even have a place to go.
Exactly.
But someone brought him in and they were able to pray together. You know, multiple hours a day, you know, and they did not just get there. And what's so significant is we have been praying.
Yes.
Every Monday, 24 hours.
Yes.
Just asking God to do a mighty work
yes.
in our cities, in our nation, in this generation.
Yes.
And we're beginning to see so many moves of God and how God is speaking.
Right.
It's exciting.
It is.
Go ahead.
It is. So he's in this little house and they're having this revival every single night and crowds are coming
yeah.
and they're pouring out into the streets. And they finally, the police shut it down and said, this is too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's too the crowd is too much for this small house. So they needed a bigger place. And a guy told them, well, I have an old warehouse that hasn't been used in years. You all are welcome to it. But it was it would cost something.
Yeah.
He had no money
yeah.
and no support. So God spoke to him and said, get on this, I guess it was a trolley back then. And in California, and he headed to Pasadena, and which was illegal for him to do because it was at night. God
right.
told him, go. It was after dark. Black mm-hmm. folks were not allowed on the streets.
But he just obeyed.
Persons of color were not allowed on the streets after dark. So he got on this trolley and caught it and went exactly where God told him. And he happened up on this apartment, and he knocked on the door where these three or four women had been praying for revival mm. every night for weeks
Beautiful.
And weeks,
wow.
little Baptist ladies praying
oh,
for
wow.
revival.
Yeah.
And so he knocks on the door, they open the door, and instead of them slamming the door in his face, they said, can we help you? He said, yeah, God sent me here to speak to you. I've been having revival. They said, come right in, come right
Beautiful.
In. So they started raising money, and they became his ministry team
mm-hmm.
basically and helped them clean out the warehouse, and that's where they started having meetings night after night.
That's so powerful to think about that he didn't really know what to do, where to go, but God just says
no money.
Go And he just got the up and just went and just followed the Lord and saw how God just provided. Yes. So tell me more. It's like as they went through those meetings, they went through their different locations, and even it began as in one specific household where there was a few baptism, the Holy Spirit, where just they were praying, the Holy Spirit came down just like they did in Acts 2.
Yes.
And tell me about that. When they came to the actual home before they even got to Azusa Street beforehand.
Right. Oh, they were seeing all kinds of miracles. And I guess it was a two-story house because Seymour would come down the stairs
in a house. Wow.
Yeah, in this little house. Wasn't a big house. And he would come downstairs and sit among them with a box on his head, which they all thought was so strange. But once he lifted that box, it was on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit would move mightily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about some of the miracles. Tell me about some of the things that happened.
After they moved to the warehouse.
That's right. Because
it really took off.
Because there was so much movement that they couldn't even fit that many people.
Exactly.
So then they moved to a building which was on Azusa Street.
Exactly. That's when it became very well known.
Mm-hmm.
And people were coming from all over to hear this evangelist preach. And he would come in with a box on his head, and he would just sit there and wait for God to speak to him. As soon as he heard God, he would take the box off and start ministering. Now, while he was sitting there with the box on his head, they would be worshiping God and playing music and basically what we would call having church.
Mm.
And these young women and men, teenagers, they were teens, 16, 18 years old, wanted so much to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were hungry for God. They got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They would go out and lay hands on people and see them healed immediately. Blind people would be brought in. They would heal for them. And they wouldn't pray like we might. Mm. They would say, did you come to be healed? And they'd say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, okay, you're going to be healed tonight. And they would
faith.
Just pray with
faith.
Huge amounts of faith,
mm-hmm.
bold faith, that they would be healed. And those people were healed.
Wow. So what was the racial mix at this point?
Oh, it was very integrated. Seymour wouldn't allow more than 20 people of the same race to sit on these benches in this warehouse. He would mix them up. If he took the box off and he saw more than 20 people, 20 white people or 20 black people, he would, no. You have to sit here. You have to sit there. Yes.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This was the first, probably the only segregated church in America at the time.
Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time, he was breaking up segregation and bringing people together.
Right. He said, when you get born again, you are one in Christ. You're a new creation.
Family.
Mm-hmm. One in Christ.
Yeah. We're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about it too, because there were some people that when they said, did you need healing? They would come up and they would have like no fingers or they'd have basically from their shoulder down, and he would pray and limbs would grow out.
Right. Sometimes he would just say, okay, all you people over there, you're already healed. You're healed. In Jesus' name, you're healed. And they would just get healed.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Full extremities. Mm-hmm. They had an upper room just full of crutches, wheelchairs, that was just that they would have from the healings.
When the people would come in wheelchairs, these young men and women that were helping him, they would immediately put the foot stands up so that when they were healed, they would jump up and walk. They wouldn't have anything
hindering
them.
Just believing in faith that God was going to heal and they were going to walk out of that wheelchair.
Right.
It's beautiful.
One of the young ladies, she enjoyed praying for those that had teeth missing or terrible tooth decay, and she would just put a finger in their mouth sometimes, and she would enjoy just playing like she's playing the piano. She'd touch the mouth here or there, and a new tooth would start growing in. New teeth.
Wow.
Brand new teeth. Now, the gentleman that wrote this book that I was reading called The Miracles of Azusa Street, he actually interviewed these people in the 1960s. So they were elderly, but they were telling him about their experiences when they were teens. And the preacher, Parham, who was a preacher in Texas, who mentored William Seymour, he would send people to Azusa Street
before they would go out on the mission field. Mm-hmm. He said, you go get anointed by this man. Get some of that anointing, and then you can go out.
Raising him up and sending him out. Raising him up and sending him out.
And so many people came out of Azusa Street that went out into the missions field and evangelized.
Yeah. This is so exciting. It is. You know, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it lawful to terminate an employee for religious discussions in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son was doing an internship for school with the probation office, and he was with a probation officer the other day, and they started talking about the Bible and things like that. And when he got back to the office, the guy that's the head of the program told him that he was going to have to let him go out of the program because he can't speak of those things.
Well, you know, you cannot be terminated from a position, whether it's an internship or employment, because of your religious beliefs or what you've said about a religious topic, as long as it's not disruptive to the workplace. But I also want to get in touch with you, your son, and let's get our lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice involved in this, and we're going to get you some direct help.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push Submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it. Sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is so exciting, having Miss Barbara here in the studio, just being able to just remember the wonders of the Lord and William Seymour and the Azusa Street Revival.
Yes.
And we've taken the beginning moments of this, just sharing about who William Seymour was, the miracles, the journeys that they just did not get there overnight. It takes prayer, dedication, just pushing through and pressing into God. And we left off, we were talking about the miracles, talking about the mighty movements and bold faith.
Right. They saw so many miracles, things we can barely imagine now. Limbs growing out, new teeth, people in wheelchairs. They would bring in blind from the school of the blind, wasn't very far away. They would bring 8 or 10 kids or young people in, and they would get healed. They would see, run around that building.
Lord.
So, you know, excited to have their vision back.
And there was even people, too, that weren't even part of what was going on, weren't even aware of what was going on, walking around the building.
Oh, not even that close, a block away.
And just the presence of the Lord was so thick and so powerful that they were coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and saying, I want to know Jesus. And there were things that people even saw above.
Oh, yeah. They would see the glory of God manifesting from this little warehouse. They would see flames shooting up from the roof you know, and they called the fire department one time. The fire department came out.
Yeah. Because they thought the building was on fire.
Right. Wow. And sometimes they would see the flames going up and then they would see flames coming down and they would touch.
Wow.
It was the glory of God.
And the exciting thing, too, is thinking about, you know, that was 1906.
Yes.
You know, approximately about 100 years ago.
Right.
And William Seymour actually prophesied about that. And he said specifically, you know, what did he say about what God was going to do?
He said God told him, well, he started prophesying one day that in approximately 100 years, there would be another move of God, but it would be similar to Azusa, mm-hmm. but much greater, because it wouldn't just affect preachers. It would be the whole body of Christ.
Wow.
And we're sitting right at that timetable right now.
Well, that's the exciting thing, too. And, you know, I think about, like, the book that you were reading by, what was the author's name?
Tommy Welchel.
And he didn't even know that he was supposed to write that book. But the exciting thing is like, you know, during the discussions that we've had, that when he saw those who were young at the time in the Azusa Street, they saw him. What did they say to him?
Okay, he was already a storyteller. He loved to tell stories. And God showed one of his dear friends. He said, I saw you talking to people and telling stories. He just prophesied over him. He's like, okay, that's interesting. And then he met some of the people in California that were still alive from Azusa Street, and they would point at him and say, you're the one.
Wow.
In fact, one time somebody just said, you're the one. He said, okay.
And kept
going.
He had no idea what he said.
Yeah, okay, I'm the one. And then another lady looked at him and said, you're the one that's going to write the stories.
Wow.
He's like, what stories? Yeah. But he already knew he was supposed to write stories, but
So and that's the exciting thing, too. It's just like as he began hearing more of their stories, more of the testimonies, and just everything that God had done through the revival, his faith was lifted.
Oh, absolutely. And it's still he didn't write this book until 2013. Mm. So he's had all this for 40 or 50 years. Mm-hmm. And he just put the pen to the paper when God told him it's time.
Yeah. You know, that really just lifts my faith and stirs my faith so much, because it even makes me think about the fact that, like, when you read in Acts 2, they were, it's so much comparable is that they were gathered together.
Right. In the upper room.
In a home.
Yes.
And the whole city responded hearing their prayers. And when they came together, when you can read this, it was actually just in my body time of just how exciting and encouraging this is that, in Acts 2, verse 11, it says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God. And you even look back and you think about the Brownsville Revival, when God used Steve Hill to come in and just share the message that he shared on Father's Day 1995, remember the wonders of the Lord. And he was just really stirring their faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And remembering, God has been good to you.
Yes, that was
Father
another God
part. Has provided you.
Excuse me. Another part of the prophecy. And he said, in 100 years, there was going to be this revival. Mm. And it was going to be bigger and better than Acts 2. He mentioned Acts 2 and Azusa Street. Yeah.
And that was so exciting, because I even think about the word that the Lord spoke to Greg about by saying the fact that what God's about to do, he said it was going to be like Azusa Street.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the exciting thing is that when you realize what God has done and all that, that's in preparation, because that's not everything. God's got so much more. And a lot of times is that if you're thinking about the stories that the author was listening to and the people that he was speaking to, they were even sharing about their desire.
Oh, absolutely. They longed to be a part of what we are going to see.
The people who were a part of Azusa Street.
Yes.
The people who were bringing new teeth and seeing healing completely.
The deaf were being healed.
Deaf would be, have hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Limbs growing back.
Right.
They wanted to be a part of what God's about to do.
Right. Mm. And when William Seymour made this prophecy, about 2 or 3 days later, Charles Parham gave the same, almost the same word for word prophecy, still in Texas.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the internet. They didn't have mass media. God spoke to him and said there would be a revival.
Yeah. That just so stirs my faith. When you look at that just overall journey that William Seymour has taken.
Right.
He did not get there overnight.
No.
He had to go through those testings. He so easily could have gotten offended, but he was just desperate and hungry.
And humble.
Hungry for God. And God showed him, said, go.
Right.
And he went, and he went, and saw how God just parted the Red Sea.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God just provided for him, right? And it's just like that overall hunger, when you look at, you can look at your own journeys in each of our lives, and it's just like what God has done in each of us. It's just like, this is God.
Absolutely.
And to think how God led William to where he was, to say, will you be faithful in the small things? Will you be faithful just praying by yourself when there's no one else? Will you be faithful if you're just in a small home and there's three or four of y'all? Will you be faithful? And watch how God pours himself out and where we are now to think about that. And it's just like, God has prepared you. He has established you, that there's a plan for your life.
Yes.
And to think about where we are now in the 21st century, approximately 100 years after what God did in Azusa Street, he's about to pour himself out and show himself mighty. But the thing is, though, is I was watching the documentary recently, and what was so powerful was that those that were being used by God, they understood that they consider themselves the people on the other side of the tracks. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about them. They just wanted people to encounter this mighty God.
Yes.
They wanted their cities, they wanted their region to just be transformed by the power of God. They wanted people to encounter Jesus, and it's just like, that's where we are right now. And it's just like, we know Jesus, and we want other people to know Jesus. And it's just like the stirring of our faith. When we remember what God has done, it stirs our faith. When you think about Azusa Street,
right,
when you think about the Brownsville Revival, God's going to do more.
Right. He's building our faith now. He's, you know, showing us small healings here and there. But what he wants to do is just overcome us and show himself big in our lives. He is our healer. Mm. Jesus is the great physician. He can heal.
Yes.
And he wants to heal
more.
Today. He wants to heal us. We need to, when some people are sick, pray. Lay hands on. He tells us in his word.
Amen.
Lay sick.
This is so exciting. This is that. We are that generation.
Yes,
and that's
the
thing, is that of all the generations of all of creation, God chose you to be a part of this generation. Say yes to Jesus Christ in your life.
Yes.
Say yes and say, God, what do you want to do in my generation?
Yes.
Here I am, Lord.
Yes,
I say yes to your will. Have your way, God. More,
amen.
Lord. More, Lord.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today, one of our two locations to better serve your needs, in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years, where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it, on the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. You Scrub a Pup in Marietta, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, afterbath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. Think about this. If you haven't seen R.A. Dickey, R.A. Dickey is on the VFN TV blog. And John had a chance. Some of you caught this on Monday. He had a chance with Isaiah and Elijah, who are baseball fans, the New York Mets, to be able to spend some moments with him, and his testimony now is available, John.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, I saw that.
And tell us what happened there.
Well, it's pretty cool. You know, R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a tremendous testimony. I mean, what God has done in his life is just absolutely amazing. He wrote a new book. You can get it, I'm sure, in all the bookstores. It has a very long title, but you can go to VFNTV.com. But
well, it's called R.A. Dickey, Wherever I Wind Up.
Yes, there's a subtitle there.
Yeah. And subtitle.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool, you know, because he's been through so many trials and so many things in his life.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I know. But it's cool when you give God credit. You know,
yes,
when you arrive to a place of prominence, it's when you come to a place of stage, when you come to a place when the whole world, you know, is looking at you, you don't pound your chest and say it was me, my hard work or what I've done, but you give glory to the Lord. And that's what he's done. I mean, the book is very therapeutic because, you know, you just see just the trials of any ordinary man. But we had a chance to go see him at the Yogi Berra Stadium. You know, Yogi Berra lives close out here, one of the famous Yankee players of all time. And he was doing a book signing, and we had the chance. You know, my son, we happened to be in Philadelphia not too long ago, and we're standing outside of the Liberty Bell, and we're waiting to get on in, and my son happens to recognize another baseball player. And I'm saying, son, Elijah, it is hot out here. There's no way that this player is out here. Long story short, him and his mom walk up to the player, And it winds up being Bobby Parnell, pitcher for the New York Mets. And so he had to get a chance to get an autograph, and that was a pretty cool experience. And when he walked away, you know, I always like to talk about Christ and talk about the Lord and just let people know about the love of God. And when we left, I said, you know, we didn't even talk to Bobby about the Lord or anything. I said, you know, if we ever get a chance again to speak to someone on a baseball team or someone that maybe has prominence, then we're going to share with them the most important thing in our life. And so here we go, getting ready to see R.E. Dickey. And there was such a huge response to seeing him. I mean, people were showing up all over the place. They were sold out. And we decided that, you know, everyone's getting autographs. We wanted to bless R.E. Dickey with a ball that says iabide.org.
You know, I'm looking at it right now.
I mean, think about it. He's a believer, and we wanted to bless him with the opportunity. Hey, listen, you know, this is awesome. You need to abide with the Lord, and I'm sure he is. But we wanted to encourage him with that. And so we walk up to him, introduce ourselves, and say, hey, R.A., we have this awesome ball we want to give you. We know that you're a believer. And I had a chance to encourage him and say, listen, you know, this is your season. This is your time. God's putting you on a platform. You know, share the gospel. And he said, thank you. He asked me to continue to pray for him. But I said, I want to give you this gift about abiding and spending time with the Lord. He looked at it. I believe his wife was sitting right next to him, and she was really surprised. She's like, oh, my goodness. You know, I guess no one does that. And he said, wow, I'm definitely going to take a look at it. He was pretty touched by it. And so he was willing to take a picture with us. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and have the opportunity to hear God for yourself. That's one of the inheritance that the son and the daughter of God have, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, that there is no in-between, that there isn't anyone that has to stand between you and God. You know, think about it. You may never have access with some of the most powerful men and women of the world. You may never, ever get a chance to meet or talk, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you sit down and abide with God and read his word. And I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where to start, you know, oftentimes people, they want to read the word of God, you know, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what plan, what to follow. Let me tell you, you can get a simple plan that gets you started at iabide.org. That's the letter I and the word abide, ABIDE.org. And you can just begin. It's a simple plan. But let me tell you, I encourage you to do it for 6 weeks. Make a commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to hear God for myself. And I promise you, he'll speak back to you through his word.